1 Corinthians 13, for a few minutes this morning, we want to take a look at, as our church has been making our way through the book of 1 Corinthians, written by the Apostle Paul to the church in a Roman city called Corinth almost 2,000 years ago. 1 Corinthians 13, we'll read verses 1 through 7 and then verse 13, and I've titled this morning's message, Unshakable Love. I'll go ahead and read that for us, and you can follow along on the screens or from where you're sitting in your Bibles. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. We thank you for a time of rest during today's service, Lord, as we posture ourselves to look to you in the busyness of this holiday season, with all the travel and shopping and plans and cards and gifts, everything that's going on. We take this moment to pause in corporate worship among family and friends and our new visitors. We want to hear from you. And so, Lord, we put ourselves under the authority of your word. We thank you for speaking to us this morning already through worship, the beautiful play that we just saw by the children. Speak to us once again in Jesus' name, amen. Did the kids do a great job or what? Can we just thank them and all the teachers? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 13 is by far one of the most well-known Bible passages known by both believers and unbelievers alike. It is probably the most famous of all wedding scriptures read during the wedding ceremonies. If I were to ask a show of hands of how many that 1 Corinthians 13, all of it, a part of it, was read during your wedding ceremony, I'm sure a many number of hands would go up because it is so beautiful. Yes, it is. But I hate to be the bearer of bad news and pop your bubble, but this was not written by Paul so that marriage ceremonies could be performed. It's written in the context of Paul pouring out his heart to a young, struggling, broken, gifted church, undergoing all sorts of challenges within and without. And I believe 1 Corinthians 13 is very parallel to Jesus' teaching on his Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes, that when we move from religion to relationship, when we come to know the love of God in the person of Jesus, his Son, that our lives will begin to be shaped and greater reflect what we just read in 1 Corinthians 13. Just like the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes are a reflection of life in the kingdom when Jesus comes to reign in our hearts. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 is about. But it's okay for it to be read during your wedding. No problem. Three things briefly I want to share this morning. The gospel is the greatest love story of all. Love is, secondly, the best measure of our salvation, the reality of it, the genuineness of it, the growing of it. And thirdly, the true strength of any church or ministry is how well we love. First of all, the gospel is the greatest love story. As you will get to know me over the years, this may be a shocker, but I'm a sap for the romantic story and romantic comedies. Sometimes my wife will come downstairs and catch me watching a rerun of some funny movie that has a romantic storyline, and I actually will be getting a little emotional and tearing up. She'll say, "Honey, what are you watching?" I said, "I'm just checking out for the kids, don't worry." And inside, I'm just melting. We all, in some degree, love the love story. And whether it be about Romeo and Juliet, Cleopatra, Mark Antony, Lancelot and Guinevere, Paris and Helen of Troy, or from my generation growing up in the 80s as a high schooler, The Karate Kid. All of us, no matter you're a child of the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, the 2000s, the 2010s, can relate to the love story. We're built for it. We hunger for it. We search for it. We cannot live without it. And we would be wise to be informed once again as we've witnessed the children perform a beautiful Christmas play for us, as we prepare to worship tomorrow at Christmas Eve, and for some of us, Christmas morning, that what we find in the pages of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is a love story like no other. It is the ultimate love story, culminating in the arrival of Jesus into our world, Christmas. And we, in the craziness of life and this season, and kids are home from school and winter break and travel and dinners and presents and all the things that are going on, if we forget that the gospel is the ultimate love story that we need to hear and experience, this thing that we call faith loses its sense of awe and wonder. Joy will not be there, and this thing that we call Christianity becomes a dead religion, tradition, meaningless ritual, just what we do at this time of year. But as we consider this most profound and in some ways disturbing truth of God sending his own Son into our world to visit with us, to tabernacle with us, to live among us, to give his life for us, we are reminded that this Advent is not just a symbol of God's love for us, but it is ultimate love because he gave his very self to us. That is true love. His birth, his life, ultimately manifested in his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. Please don't embrace a sentimental view of Christmas this year or admire this love story limited as you look for smaller, temporary, limited, fragile love stories by which we want our hearts to be connected to. Because all those love stories in the end will in some way disappoint. Sorry to say, no matter how many reruns you watch, it will disappoint. But know today that when we think about this ultimate love story of the gospel, that we are recipients of an ultimate love. We have been pursued and wooed and called, and now Christmas is a reminder that we are loved by the one who knows us, created us, and sent his own son to rescue us. Every once in a while, in between my son James's cries and temper tantrums to watch more episodes of Paw Patrol, he every once in a while surprises Kathy and I and embraces us in a bear hug as strong as a three-year-old can do. He looks straight into our eyes and says, "Mommy, Daddy, I love you so much." What parent's heart wouldn't it be melted when one so young with such a pure heart, unless he's after something like a Snickers bar, a little rascal likes Snickers as much as me now, when you are on the receiving end of true love, it is transformative. Whether your child is 3 years old or 30 years old, you know what that does to you when you're reminded that someone does love you. When Pastor reminds us that it is a love for the utterly unworthy, a love which proceeds from a God who is love. It is a love lavished on others without a thought of whether they are worthy to receive it or not. It proceeds rather from the nature of the lover, not from any merit in the one being loved. That is a kind of love that everyone in our world is looking for. Don't just see the cute baby Jesus, but see the drama unfold of the ultimate love story that by faith we are recipients of. Secondly, Paul reminds us that love is the best measure of our salvation. Paul goes on and names some of the most profound and powerful gifts of the Holy Spirit ever to grace humanity: to speak in the tongues of men and of angels, to have prophetic powers, to have faith that can, and the ESV puts it, to remove mountains. But if you have not love, even if you give away all that you have to the poor, even if you were to sacrifice your very life being burned to the flames in persecution, but have not love, Paul writes, you gain nothing. This love indeed is the best measure. It is the true metric of the genuineness and the reality of the life of God in us. We all love metrics. As soon as children are born, we begin to measure height, weight. We love to see how many calories we burn in our workouts, how many steps we've taken, how many hours of REM sleep that we get a night. We love numbers. My watch tells me, get your butt off the seat and walk around. You need to exercise. It's amazing. And we always fall into that trap of applying that to the life of faith. How diligent have I been? Prayer, fasting, Word of God. But Paul reminds us, in the midst of using gifts, experiencing God, using gifts to bless others, wonderful things. But the ultimate metric that Paul reminds this struggling yet church with so much potential is the metric of love. In my college years, I shared with you all that I used to be a drummer for a rock band, Christian rock band, back in the day. And the worship band leader, every once in a while, when he felt it's time to do the thing, the holding hands thing, I said, oh no! And I would try my best to hide behind the drum set, keep playing the beat so I wouldn't have to do the hold your hand thing. All right, every one of you, including the band. Peter, stop hiding behind the drums. Get up here. I want you to find someone and hold hands, stare them into the eye. And as we sing this song, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord, look into their eyes and sing. It was the most anxiety-producing event of my life. You laugh, but in 2 minutes we're going to get up and do this. Just kidding. It was terrifying most of the time because often I didn't sense that love for others. I didn't always sense the love of God in my heart. And to hold hands with someone, and I don't know if it was just the Korean churches that did this or if some of the other covenant churches did this as well. Wow, those cruel youth pastors, they know how to really get you. And it was always terrifying. What happens if you do that and the other person starts to laugh? Or if you get someone that is a little bit shady and has a crush on a particular young lady and you're singing, oh, I love you, oh my, dangerous. But more often than not, when God's Spirit moved and we were reminded of the power of the ultimate love story of God's grace for sinners. And when you know that person you're holding hands with and staring into their eyes is no different than you, and through that love of the gospel story, you can indeed, with a compassionate and humble heart, express your love for your brother or sister in Christ in a way that often the world will never be able to understand. I'm reminded of that over and over again, that when I blow it, He still loves me. When I often have not shown that kind of grace to others, and God keeps bringing people into my life that shows me the kind of grace that I often am not willing to give others, I'm blown away. When I see His incredible patience with me, when I am so impatient with Him and with others around me, when I see His guiding hand protecting me and leading me, even in my doubts, insecurities, and great fear, when you know of this kind of love, Paul says, even compared to the ultimate gifts, That is the true metric. That is the most important. Jonathan Edwards reminds us that the scriptures speak of no real Christians who have an ugly, selfish, angry, and contentious spirit. Nothing can be more contradictory than a morose, hard, closed, and spiteful Christian. We are reminded then, as we head into Christmas, that love is the ultimate and the best measure of our salvation. And thirdly and finally and briefly, the true strength of a church is how well we love. We all love strength. We all want to be strong. My son James loves his superheroes. He's a Spider-Man freak. But when he really wants to show how strong he is, he takes on the persona of the Hulk. He smashes anything and everything. And we want to be like that too. And we want our church to be strong as well. But Paul in verses 4 through 7 reminds us of what true strength is. As we go through the characteristics of what true love is: patient, kindness, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not arrogant. Let us not fall into the trap of thinking that I need to try harder so I can obey Scripture and be more like this. Then this becomes no different than self-help books or man-made religion. But when we read verses 4 through 7, we see them perfectly found in the person of Jesus. And when we have Him by faith in our hearts, these things naturally begin to emerge and take over our lives. And when that happens individually, the church finds its strength because it excels as we learn how to love. Paul says to this church, a very gifted, very well-resourced, an amazing church in a global city. Paul says, strength is not found in your numbers, in the demonstration of amazing gifts and talents, your programs, your reputations. It is found in how boldly, how vulnerably you can love one another. In the few days before Elsie Grover passed, when her son Philip said, Elsie wants to see you, Pastor, please get here quickly. And sitting in her apartment at Covenant Village there in Cromwell, we began to talk and share. And when I asked, what advice, Elsie? You know Trinity well. You've been here for decades. As the new pastor, what can I do? Please give me some advice. She said, teach them to love one another well. Everything else will follow, but tell them, teach them, love one another well. Literally one of the last few words she would speak here on earth, as a few days later she would pass and go on to be with the Lord. Kathy and I and the kids are beginning our second year of ministry here at Trinity. Only God knows how long we'll be here for. And when my time comes to say goodbye, more than hearing, he provided a great vision. He was a good communicator and preached well. He led us into strategy and growth and brought diversity and led us in missions and all these things. More than anything else, how do I know I was successful? When I hear you all say, he did some of those things, maybe some better than the others, but he loved us well. Pastor, through all his faults, his brokenness, his own struggle and limitations, he loved us well. That is a question we need to ask ourselves as we reflect on our lives, our ministries, and the upcoming Christmas dinners with your family of certain family members that you don't want to love, he or she still loved me well. J.R. Packer reminds us this coming Christmas, as we reflect on this and I close, the Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity, the hope of pardon, the hope of peace with God, hope of glory, because at the Father's will, Jesus became poor and was born in a stable so that 30 years later, he might hang on a cross. Oh, what kind of love is this that we are reminded of this coming Christmas? A love of a holy, almighty, pure God who pursues lost people in order to make them sons and daughters of the King. May we be reminded of that as we head into Christmas. Let us pray. Father, we are a diligent people. We are hard-working New Englanders. We're doing our very best in the busyness of this Christmas season to do the things that we feel are important. And I pray this morning as we approach Christmas in just 2 days that we would do well to be reminded that it is the ultimate love story. And I pray, Father, for anyone here that is looking to find the ultimate love story that they could receive, that love they have been longing for, they would look to the one who was born in a manger and 30 years later would die a death on a cross. That in doing so, we who receive him by faith might come to experience a love like no other. Thank you, Father, for Christmas. Not just a token or symbol of your love, but you gave your very self to us. Remind us of that once again as we recalibrate our lives, our marriages, our family, and our church. As Paul has poured out his heart to the church in Corinth, that this love is most important of all, the love that is found in the person of Jesus. Give us more of him, that once again we can love well. Amen.